series from the book of Matthew, our Lent series, titled Journey to the Cross, which is Matthew 28 from our Pew Bibles, page number is 1061, Matthew 28. It has only 20 verses. I'd like to read all the verses today. Page number 1061 from our Pew Bibles. Before reading the text, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this wonderful text again. So much that we can learn, we can know about our Lord Jesus Christ and what happened to him, what happened to other people around the resurrection event. Heavenly Father, would you please help us to be more sensitive to your word so that every single word from the Bible we can understand, and we'll be focusing on our hearts to you, Lord. And we also pray that, Lord, bless me and bless my lips so that I can deliver your word. Only I can speak about Jesus Christ and nothing else. The message of Jesus Christ, the resurrection stories. Lord, be with us this morning and help us to feel that this is the best place, better than anywhere in the world. We're sitting with our brothers and sisters before you to worship you. So make this time the best time of our life, Lord. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of God, Matthew chapter 28. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary and Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and it came and rolled back the stone and it sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like a dead man. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. You will see him. And see, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came night and stole him away while we were sleeping. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And then Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of God. Amen. Now, it has been a crazy week for people in Jerusalem. Thinking about people in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, that the whole city, Jerusalem, was stirred when Jesus entered the city. We don't know what they said. People shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest." But the same people who shouted Hosanna also cried and sang, yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." Then Jesus was beaten and mocked by Roman soldiers. They twisted a crown of thorns and set it on his head and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" The chief priests and elders of Jews were jeering at Jesus, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself." Even the thief said to Christ, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The people at the cross ridiculed him and said, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild in 3 days, save yourself." Now Matthew describes the moment of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, in verse 45, vividly describing, "Now from the sixth hour there was a darkness of all the land until the ninth hours." And Mark and Luke from the Bible said the same thing. There was darkness over the land. It was dark. Not even a moment, but for 3 hours there was no light. Darkness was all over the land. It reminds us of what happened to the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. But here, the true light who came to the world, which gives a light to everyone, died on the cross. That it was the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock, 3 p.m. in our time, the Son of God breathed his last and died on the cross. Now, Matthew's description of the death of Jesus Christ is like this. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. 28 verse 50. Now, slowly, slowly death is coming. Now, it's really irony to see how Matthew used the word "cry out" in his description of the death of Jesus Christ. Because Matthew used the same word in 21 verse 9, when people shouted "Hosanna," the meaning of "shouted" is the same word in Greek. And he used the same word in 27 and 23, verse 23, when people shouted again, "Crucify him, crucify him." Now Matthew brings our attention, our broken heart, to Christ by using the same word. Jesus Christ cried. Yes, it has been a crazy week and the whole city was upside down. However, everything is done. No more shouting of the people, no more yelling, no more crying of Jesus Christ, as Jesus said, "It is finished." Now, the chief priest remembered what Jesus said. Matthew 27:63, "In 3 days I will rise." So they thought they had to do something. That they asked the governor and Pilate to guard the tomb of Jesus Christ so that no one could come and steal the body. Now it has been 3 days based on our text. No one came to the tomb. And not even one of the disciples came to the tomb. Only Roman soldiers took their turns to secure the tomb for at least for a few days and more. It's been 3 days, but a few more days to protect the tomb. It was very early in the morning, the Sunday morning, when the sun was about to rise, really dark. Two ladies from our text were coming to the tomb of Jesus Christ in our text to see him. Mary Magdalene and other Mary. Now Mark, Book of Mark, tells that these women purchased the spices to finish the burial of Jesus Christ. Because we know that everything went so quickly in a hurry in Friday night to bury Jesus Christ. And at the same time, we need to remember what these ladies were saying to one another as they were coming to the tomb of Jesus Christ. That's Mark 16:3. They were talking about like this: "Who will roll away the stone for us. Isn't that interesting? Two ladies are going to see the body of Jesus Christ, but they are talking, wow, who's going to roll the stone away for us? And Mark 16 and 3 is exactly like this. Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Because people used a huge stone to cover the tomb, and it usually weighed almost 2 tons. I have no idea how much it will be. It's like a car. So it could be impossible for these ladies to roll the stone away. Now, even worse, don't forget that the guards, Roman soldiers, were there protecting the tomb. No one could come. So literally, it will be impossible. It's impossible to get in there, to see there. Two ladies, they bring swords and like a ninja and taking care of all the soldiers. It's impossible. Impossible to roll the stones away to see Jesus Christ. But they simply came. They came to see the body of Jesus Christ. Now Matthew wants to remember that his readers to be excited in verse 2. And he uses his favorite word, behold. As we read our text, he uses this word a lot in his writing. He used this special word when angel visited Mary at the beginning of his book. Now he used this word when the heavens were opened after Jesus was baptized by John. Now he uses the same word when the curtain of the temple was torn after the death of Jesus Christ. So the first century Christians, when they read Matthew's story, they knew that something is coming when they read the word behold. It's a very special moment. And verse 2 says, behold, there was a great earthquake. Now Matthew tells why there was a great earthquake. Now verse 2, an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone. As we know, the ladies felt the shaking and quaking of the earth. And then they saw an angel coming from heaven. Literally, they saw that and rolling the huge stone away. Surely they were so frightened by seeing that scene. But remember what they said just minutes ago in Mark 16 and verse 3. Who will roll away the stone for us? Probably they could have thought, yes, God answered our prayers. And however, it was literally the most fearful moment for the ladies to see an angel. As they were trembling and shaking, the angel said to the ladies in verse 5, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. And verse 6, he's not here. For he has risen. Let's go a little bit slowly with this first. Two women must have wondered what the angels just said. What do you say? He's not here? Did we hear wrong? Because we saw he died and we saw people laid him here, right here, few days ago. I remember this place. And we know that the stone covered the tomb for 3 days. We just saw that you removed the stone, but he's not here. Then an angel said, come and see the place where he lay. Now Luke tells more about what they did. When they went in, they actually went in and they did it. And they tried to look at it and they did not find the body of the Lord. And then Luke says a very special word. They were perplexed, confused. And in the Greek word, this meaning is in a state of confused mind. So everything was not right. It's not possible that We just came here, you rolled the stone away, but body is gone. What's happening here? They were perplexed, confused. Now, John tells her more about what Mary Magdalene said in John 20:13. This is what she said when they saw and heard what happened. They have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him. So it's a crucial moment, very serious moment for the ladies. We want to see our Lord, his dead body. We came here to finish his burial, but we don't know where he is. It's about crying. And the angel told them again in verse 7. Yes, he explained that Jesus is risen, but here in verse 7, now go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead. That's why he's not here. Don't you remember that? Another way is saying that go quickly and tell the disciples that he's not here because he has risen from the dead. Is no time to weep and cry for you right now. Now do not worry about your Lord Jesus Christ. No one stole his body, but he is risen. Don't waste your time here, but just go quickly to the disciples and spread a word and proclaim that Jesus has risen from the dead. Now the angel tells more about Jesus Christ in verse 7. He is going to Galilee and you will see him. Is that true? Now, what would you do if the same thing happens to you? Don't imagine that you have very strong faith, but think that you are just regular people trying to see the body of Jesus Christ. What would you say if the lady is actually coming to you and say that, you know what, the tomb is empty? Because Jesus has risen. Would you believe it? Now these ladies could not believe what just happened to them. They saw the empty tomb. The tomb was empty. Jesus was not there. An angel commanded them to go and tell people about his resurrection. But nothing is sure. Just empty tomb. But these ladies, in verse 8, they departed quickly and from the tomb. Even in verse 8, 7 says, listen to what the sentence describes their feeling, with fear and great joy. They had a mixed mind, mixed feelings. Their hearts were mixed with feeling of fear and worry and confusion. What is going on? But their hearts were compelled by the news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Their hearts were filled with great joy. It must be true. The joy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we should have today. We must have that feeling like the ladies. So they ran to tell the news of Jesus' resurrection to the disciples now. However, would the disciples believe them? Do you think they will believe these ladies? Now, if the ladies just ran to the disciples and then say and talk to them the story, what happened, probably they would not believe the ladies' testimony. In her story, there is one thing that is missing. One thing that is missing. The ladies did not see the body of Jesus Christ. Now, in order to prove the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ladies had to see the resurrected Jesus Christ. Then they will ensure them, and they will encourage them to go tell the disciples about that. That this simple thing would strengthen their faith, so that they could boldly testify the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there will be a big difference between, I heard that he is risen. The angel told me, I heard. Or, I saw him. I witnessed his body. I literally saw him with my own eyes. Two big different things. So the ladies, they needed to have that experience. Now Matthew tells a more exciting story in verse 9. As the ladies were quickly running toward the disciples to tell the story, behold, one more time, Matthew uses this very special word, behold. Why? Jesus was there and Jesus met them and said, greetings. Greetings. I read this part again and again. And then actually, at some point I felt goosebumps rose on my arms and back. Behold, greetings. They must have been really shocked to see the resurrected Jesus Christ. Even more, he just said, greetings. That means be glad and peace be with you in their language. Now, brothers and sisters, what would you do if Jesus, who died 3 days ago, and appears to you and says, greetings? You know what the ladies did? They took hold of Jesus' feet. And in verse 9, they worshipped him. What a wonderful scene that we just imagine here. Now, holding Jesus' feet means very special to the ancient world and people there. That means they usually hold the feet of kings to express their honor. Now, here, ladies' actions symbolize that the resurrected Jesus Christ is the King. He is the King, King of kings and Lord of lords. But Matthew is declaring through this incident that, see, Jesus Christ is the King. The ladies recognize that Jesus has really risen from the dead. He's not anymore in the tomb. So they worship the King, the Messiah. Yes, it's real. We didn't read that word here, but I'm sure the ladies said, yes, it's real. Jesus has risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Now let's talk about the Roman soldiers. I know that there is a recent movie, The Risen, or something like that. That Hollywood movie is on the theater right now. I didn't watch it. I think it's about Roman soldiers. Let's talk about the Roman soldiers in the text. Not only the ladies were at the tomb, but as we read, all the Roman soldiers were there. Now, when an angel came from heaven to roll the gigantic stone away, rolling the stone, and our text describes the appearance of the angel in verse 3. His appearance was like lightning. And then his clothing white as snow. It's a very unusual scene. Now, it happened before the sun rise. So it's really dark, but it's a really bright thing is coming to them. So it must have been really, really scary thing to see. Now, all of a sudden, in darkness, all of a sudden, they saw a man coming from the sky. And not just a man, but a man like a lightning. And the clothing was like a snow, really bright. So not just watching a man flying from the sky was a scary moment for the Roman soldiers. But remember that they were there when the angel rolled the stone away. Maybe they thought, what is that? Something's flying that's really bright. Oh, he comes here. Oh, he's rolling the stone away. They saw that with their own eyes, and the angel was sitting on the tomb, the stone. What would you do if you were there at the scene? Maybe, literally, I thought about if I were a Roman soldier, I'd run away. We would run away from the sin. This is what the text says in verse 4 about their action. The fear of him, the guards trembled. Yes, sure, it's a trembling moment. And became like a dead man. The interesting to read John Calvin's words about these Roman soldiers. He's quoting from John Calvin. He says, "The soldiers who were accustomed to like watching all the terrible things and killing people, horrible things, and these people were so completely overwhelmed by an angel. So they fell down like men who were almost dead." So what Calvin tried to say is, it's literally awkward and funny and like a comic, because you are the man who always watch things, horrible things, but now you feel fear and become like a dead man. Their job description, they were assigned to guard the tomb. But they didn't perform their duties. They failed. Why? Because they saw the angel, they feel fear. They saw angel rolling the stone away. They couldn't do anything. Maybe they could throw their swords and yelling at him, "What are you doing? Don't do that." They couldn't do it. Literally, they were paralyzed before angel's action and became like a dead man at the scene of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, these poor soldiers faced a big trouble. As I said, they were assigned to guard this tomb, the tomb of Jesus Christ, but they completely failed their job. We know what that meant. They deserve that penalty. They deserve that penalty for their failure. So it's interesting to read that they didn't go to Pilate, the governor, but they went to the high priest. So it is wise to visit the high priest, not going to the Pilate, reporting about their failure, because they will be killed. So some of them, not all of them, went to the chief priest to report what happened. Now at the scene, the story goes really awkward. Really awkward story. Now when the chief priest hear the news, the angel came rolling the stone and everything, they could have sent people to investigate. "Are you sure? Let's bring my people. I'm going to send them and want to make sure who rolled and what happened in the tomb." But unfortunately, they didn't do that. What does it mean? Rather, they came up with an evil plan. They said, "Tell people. His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were sleeping." Doesn't make sense. They even bribed the Roman soldiers with money. And our text says they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers. Everything's awkward. Why? Because the soldiers failed to guard the tomb. They came to report, and then the high priest tried to give them money, and these soldiers, "Ooh, money." And even the high priest, they heard. They could have said, "I know you're lying. You failed your job. Go to your governor and we're going to report about your failure. That's your job." But they said, "Oh, don't say it. This is money. And but go tell, lie about what happened to you." They knew that it was true. And ironically, these poor soldiers had a great opportunity to share the good news when they go out. But did they do? We don't know. They saw the angel rolling the stone. They knew the tomb was empty. The body of Jesus Christ was gone. But they did not share the truth, but lies. Verse 15. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. And actually what the chief priest asked them to do was a foolish idea. The disciples stole the body while you were sleeping. Now how did you know that disciple came when you were sleeping?
Who would you believe your testimony if you say, I was sleeping, they came, they stole the body, that's why it happened? Who's going to believe that? Wouldn't it be better for them to tell the truth as they watched, as they witnessed, rather than saying lying? But unfortunately, they were blinded by a sufficient sum of money. And they took the money and spread lies. And even people believed their stories. Brothers and sisters, today we are here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, Matthew tells us a simple story here, but the most powerful and a truthful story, Jesus, He has risen from the dead. His resurrection is the center of the gospel, center of our faith. Now, Paul teaches in Romans 5 and 12, sin came to the world and through one man, which is Adam, and death through sin. So the death spread to all men because all sinned. But at 6:23, the wage of sin is death. And Romans 5:8, Christ died while we were sinners. So Paul pictures us a good, big salvation in God's plan. We were sinners, but Christ died on the cross for us. Now, Christ conquered death. Therefore, death no longer has dominion over us and over Him. Romans 6:8. Therefore, the resurrection is the most important day for all of us. The forgiveness of sin has come to us like a true, real story through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through His death and resurrection, that we have been justified. We became God's righteous people. We have now peace with God. So everything, every little tiny thing, little tiny piece come together through the death of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. And now we stand before God because of His resurrection. And then what shall we do with the story of the resurrection that we know, we heard so many times? Matthew answers the question from what Jesus said to the woman and the disciples. In 28 verse 10, go, tell my brothers to go to Galilee and they will see me. Verse 28, 10. And 18 and 20, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. And make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If you know that I am the Lord who resurrected from the dead, that's your job. Go. And teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus brings one more idea to us. The resurrection means not separating from us. Resurrection means Jesus is with us forever, all the time. Now, Matthew proves in his letter that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is real. How? Matthew gives us evidences here. Two ladies saw the empty tomb. They were the witnesses. What about Roman soldiers? Yes. They were the witnesses, but they lied. They saw the empty tomb. The angel itself is a witness. Angel rolled away the gigantic stone. Maybe we could go to heaven and we could ask him, Did you do that? This woman actually met the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ Himself is our witness. And then the risen Lord Himself is the proof of His resurrection. What about the chief priest? As I said already, if they believe that the Roman soldiers were lying. They didn't have to give them money. The priests knew that Jesus was not stolen. His body was not stolen, but resurrected. If they didn't believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they didn't have to lie. They didn't have to pay a lot of money to the soldiers to lie about Jesus Christ. Now here Matthew compares two different stories about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One group of people, two ladies testified Jesus Christ who is risen from the dead. Isn't that amazing? Always lady comes first. In their culture, their society, ladies must be very bottom, very last. Another group of people, the chief priests and Roman soldiers, they testified that disciple stole the body. That's why the empty tomb. Now, the one story that we know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, became two different stories. What is true and another one is lie. Which one do we believe? Which one would you bring to the world? Which one would you take with you in your heart to the world? The real story. Jesus has risen indeed. He is risen. That's the story we need to tell, we need to bring, we need to live with. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our journey to the cross. Through the book of Matthew, we met so many different peoples. And now we met another different group of peoples. Still the high priest there and non-believers there. But Lord, we want to find ourselves from the story like the woman who spread the truth of the resurrection, Lord. Would you please bless us? And help us to live based on this truth, the power of resurrection, God's promise. Bless us, and we pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.